AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Short stuff, I should say. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Jerry. Let's get to it.
And they're off with another shorty.
So we're about to talk about something I had no idea about previous to this.
Yeah, and this one has a couple of layers that are super interesting to me.
It is an onion for sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into the history of a guy named William Rufus Devane King. And he was an early senator. Mm-hmm. He was a diplomat for the United States. I think he was a congressman first. Mm-hmm. Then he was a diplomat. And mm-hmm. then he was a senator for like 29 years or something like that. And then eventually he became vice president. And the way that he apparently progressed through the ranks in the Democratic Party was by being pretty middle of the road, vanilla, mediocre.
Yeah, and I interpreted that as also he was a good guy that, you know, he wasn't one of these blustery blowhards mm-hmm. of the day. Mm-hmm. He was an attorney first, of course, probably like most of these dudes were and still are.
Right.
And he was described as various things, tall, prim, wig-topped mediocrity. But other things that they said were like he wanted people to address each other with decorum. And whenever people were arguing, he was known to come in and kind of try and reconcile things. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like this guy's style the more I read about him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, you know? I think to be middle of the road at this time was actually kind of a badge of honor.
Oh, interesting.
This is during the lead up to the Civil War.
Sure.
So the country is not getting along very well, right?
Yeah.
So he started out again in Congress. And then he went on to serve as diplomat to Russia and then Naples, the Kingdom of Naples, no less.
Yeah, and in France at one point, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And then by 1818, he returned to the U.S. and he said, I'm going to find my fortunes way out west. So he went to Alabama, which is way out west at the time.
Yeah.
And he was born the son of a plantation owner, and he became a plantation owner there. He owned 500 slaves, became one of the largest slaveholders in this newly formed state. And he named his estate Chestnut Hill. And from there, that's where he became the senator for 29 years. He was a senator from Alabama for 29 years and actually was instrumental in, ironically, naming the town of Selma.
Oh, wow.
Did you see that?
No.
So there was a poem, a book of poems about called like Songs of Selma, that he was that he loved. And when they were naming the county seat of the county where his plantation was, he was basically instrumental in getting it named Selma, the city of Selma, Alabama.
Yeah, so he would eventually go on through the Democratic Party at the time to be vice president, to be a presidential running mate to hopeful Franklin Pierce. Mm-hmm. And this is where things get a little bit interesting, because many historians, and it says some, but I did some research on this, and most historians now look back and say President James Buchanan was clearly a gay man.
Right.
And it's interesting to think about our past being a little more open to that. Mm-hmm. But there's a guy that wrote a book, Jim Lowen, called Lies My Teacher Told Me, Everything Your American History Teacher Got Wrong. And he clearly states that James Buchanan was gay. And not only that, it was not a big secret. And America was actually a little more open to that kind of thing and permissive of that kind of thing back then.
Right, right. It wasn't like his political career wasn't ruined. It wasn't like blackmail held against him. And that just so goes against what most people think of with history, that it's like a arrow that progresses ever forward. And that by default then, like the time we live in must be more tolerant and more progressive than, you know, 100-something years ago, 150 years ago. And that's just not the case. And this is a good example of that.
Yeah. So he calls it, this author says, that the idea that we started great and just got greater and greater, mm-hmm. chronological ethnocentrism, mm-hmm. which is a fancy way of saying what you just said, which is in the 19th century, it was okay, at least, to, you know, I mean, he got elected president.
Yeah, and speaking of fancy, one of the examples that they point to is that this was an open secret or just known around D.C. is that Andrew Jackson had a nickname for James Buchanan and William King, Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy.
Yeah, because here's the deal. Buchanan never married. He and King lived together and spent a lot of time together, and that was basically sort of known around town that was the deal. When Buchanan died, mm-hmm. he had all of his correspondences burned upon his death,
right?
Which is sort of a weird thing to do. But a few of the letters did survive, and one of them from 1844, addressed to a Mrs. Roosevelt, said, when King moved to Paris to be ambassador to France, he said, "I am now solitary and alone, having no companion in the house with me. I have gone wooing to several gentlemen, but have not succeeded with any of them."
Tough to take that the wrong way.
It is. I mean, of course, we're saying, you know, it's pretty clear now, but, you know, who knows? They may make the argument in this article it could have just been close male friends. But I think most people kind of agree now that James Buchanan was our first gay president.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, of course.
And then that same letter, Chuck, that you just read a quote from, goes on to say that if this keeps up, he may very well just marry an old maid who can cook and care for him and won't expect ardent romance from him.
Yeah.
In return. So, yeah, there's just the evidence is that what little evidence there is certainly points to this. The idea that, as this article puts it, that this is just like a bromance or something.
Yeah.
That seems pretty thin. All signs point to him being gay. But also in defense of this article on How Stuff Works, they say that that had zero bearing whatsoever on his political aptitude. It was just an interesting fact of history that kind of makes us examine our own times a little more.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. I don't know much about the 19th century, but I do know that gay men existed and bromances did not.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a stupid modern conceit.
Yeah. And I think what you just said is a t-shirt, too, a long t-shirt, maybe front and back.
A sleep shirt.
There you go.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to let you know why we titled this one, How King Actually Took His Oath of Office in Cuba, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So William King, I want to call him Rufus King so bad because it's William Rufus Devane King, but
yeah,
that's not what he was called, Josh. Not what he's called. But William King had another claim to fame historically, in that he was the only person in the United States history elected to high office who was sworn in off of U.S. soil.
Yeah.
And that was the way that it happened is, it's interesting, but it's not anything that William King wanted.
No, he got tuberculosis, got very sick, and from the time of his election in November 1852 as Pierce's vice president to when he would eventually take office in March of 1853, this was sort of the time when they were like, go to a good, hot, warm climate because that will help you out, which is, you know, it probably does help along, but it's not a cure-all, you know?
Yeah, the muggy air of Cuba will really clear out your tuberculosis. It doesn't seem right to me. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about the humidity.
But that's where he went. He went down to Havana to restore his health between the election and the swearing in. But his health just got worse and worse and worse. And by the time he was to be sworn in, within like a week or so, or I think maybe even more than that, because he wouldn't have been able to make it from Havana to D.C. within a week at that time.
On a boat?
Yeah. But within that time, he realized, like, I'm not going to be able to make it to D.C. I'm still too sick.
Yeah.
The time is too short. I'm just going to have to ask if I can be sworn in down here. And Congress said, you know what? We like you, Will. We think you're great. We give you a lot of BS about you and Buchanan, but we think you're a pretty great person. So, yeah, we're going to pass an act of Congress to make that happen.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They passed this legislation allowing him to be sworn in Cuba. And on March 24th, 1853, he did just that at an office near Matanzas.
Mm-hmm.
Matanzas?
Matanzas.
That has a little more flair.
Yeah.
And this is a seaport town about 60 miles east of Havana. He was so sick he couldn't even stand up without help. But he repeated the oath. He became our 13th vice president, which is pretty remarkable on Cuban soil. And then after about a month, he was like, I really would kind of like to get back to the U.S., set sail for Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. And imagine this, Chuck. Can't you see like a Cuban sea captain go, you want to go to Alabama? Okay.
I like your Cuban sea captain.
Thank you.
That's great.
I've been working on it all day.
Oh, is that why you're wearing that shirt?
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Now it all makes sense.
So he set sail, and eventually he would die April 18th, the day after he got back to United States soil.
Yeah, he made it back to Chestnut Hill and expired post-haste.
Yeah, and here's something I didn't know. Apparently, you didn't really need a vice president back then because we went 4 years without one.
Well, I don't know if you didn't need one or not, but Franklin Pierce is, in my opinion, the worst president the United States has ever had.
Uh-huh.
He and King were elected because they were so middle of the road and so vanilla and so plain on the, especially on like the slavery issue, that they were elected to try to keep the U.S. from civil war. But they, well, not King, but definitely Pierce laid the groundwork for it.
Yeah.
Almost single-handedly with this terrible administration. So Franklin Pierce is terrible.
Nice.
And I could see him being like, I don't need a vice president. I can screw it all up myself.
I like that. I didn't know about your longstanding Franklin Pierce grudge.
It's hot.
You got anything else?
No, that's it. Well, thanks for hanging out with us for this brief time.
Yeah.
While you made it through your bag of carrot sticks on your lunch break. If you want to hang out with us, go to our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com, and look us up. I'm also at areyouseriousclark.com, and we're all over social media. And we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.